tradition. Without our traditions, our lives would be as shaky as a fiddler on the roof.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Paul Listnick Behind the Curtain. Today, of course, looking at the world of theater, which I love to do, step away from the world of politics that I do on TV. But actually, in some ways, my guests in this show might actually cross that line a little bit because of the topic. You'll understand as we get into this. You knew from that lead-in music, we are talking about Fiddler on the Roof, which comes back to Chicago at the Cadillac Palace Theater, May 17th through the 22nd. I couldn't be more thrilled than to be joined by the two leads in that show. Playing Tevye is Yehezkel Lazarov. Yehezkel, shalom. I know you are from Israel, and so good to see you.
Shalom. Thank you.
And Maite Uzal joins us. You are from Spain, but you play the role of Golda. The two of you now have been married for almost 25 years, probably in real life, too.
Yes.
Yes. That's how it feels like.
Working together for a long time. And let me start with you, Yehezkel. I mean, this has to be, as an Israeli, whatever, I don't know, I just make this connection, but playing Tevye, it just has to be something that somebody in theater and arts who has your background, this is a role you had to do.
Well, yeah, it just came to my life and it's explode, you know, like it's one of the most amazing things that happened to me in my career. I think in any actor can ask for this kind of role. This is like the perfect role an actor can ask because it truly has all the colors you can ask for. I mean, beginning with being the caring person that he is. And there's so much humor. The text is like perfectly written. And yeah, it's a big deal in Israel that I'm doing this role, you know, of course. And also to get into, you know, a role that was very much belonged to Topol. And everybody knows the role through Topol. And we had a few years the musical in Tel Aviv. So it's a huge thing for me to do this role. And that's why I'm stick with it like for 4 years, 600 shows already.
Maite, and you come to the show. By the way, this is not, you reminded me, this is not your first visit to Chicago with this show. Last time would have been 2018. Of course, I see it every time it's here. You've been with the show for a long time.
Yes, we've both been with the show since the beginning. Yep.
And is there something about this that keeps you with it? I mean, there's some people would say, oh, it's Fiddler again, whatever. But, I don't see it that way, but you obviously don't either.
Well, it's like, I don't know if you have a certain type of clothes that you always have in your wardrobe or a certain type of food that always works for you. It just always works when something is so well done, so well written, and you see that it's such an important story to tell, that people receive it so well, that people love it so much. I mean, there's just so many reasons to stick with Fiddler. That's why it's a classic. So that's why it's a pleasure to come into it every night. Because it's just so good. It's like seeing when you a good friend that you like, you know, you may have your little quarrels or whatever, but when someone sticks with you, they stick.
Yeah, and having the theater bug in myself, there isn't a party that I don't go to If I Were a Rich Man isn't the song that I sing at the place, along with a few others like Sabbath Prayer and Chava's Ballet. But anyway, Yehezkel, let me also ask you, in terms of the drama of this role, this is a little bit different than past shows in that it's directed by Bart Scher. And I think a lot of people will know him because he's sort of a legend on Broadway and the Tonys. But, you know, another of his shows just down the street from you, To Kill a Mockingbird, playing pretty much the same day. I'll be chatting with Richard Thomas in just a little bit from that show. But tell me what it's like to be in a Bart Scher show, because he trusts the actors. He feels the show.
Yeah, I have to. So first of all, because I'm coming from Israel and I didn't know Bart Scher, of course. So for me, it was like, you know, very clean paper to come to these rehearsals and to have the process with Sari, his assistant director, and the second director and Scher. And I discovered it through the rehearsals, how freer he makes you feel, how he truly trusts the actors. And it takes him time to pick the actors, but while the minute he has them, he gives them 100% trust. And this is amazing. That means that he's very sure of himself. He knows exactly what he wants. He knows exactly what he needs. And sometimes when a director knows those things, it doesn't really have to talk to the actors. He can just point about, you know, and you just already know exactly what to deliver. So for me, it was a huge honor to discover this man and this process, and the way he took this show. You know, this show can be translated to all different kinds of ways, and I think that he kept it traditional in a way, but also he put something very modern in it, so we can all be proud that we're not just doing something from the past and doing the same thing that people are doing for decades. We bring something new on stage, and I think it's that the realistic, it's the characters. There's nothing caricaturistic about the characters. I think the relationships are real. And those little things that he talked about it, and of course the movement and the dance and everything, and the stage, but still there's something about the soul of the show, the way he talks about the politics abstract, you understand what I'm trying to say.
I do. And in fact, by the way, there's so much from this show that has been ingrained. A lot of people think the bottle dance, for example, at the wedding was part of Jewish mm-hmm. custom and tradition, instead of realizing that Jerome Robbins created it. And maybe now it's part of a tradition, but it wasn't then. Maite, as well, you know, and I'm sure you guys know a lot of the history of the show, but when it first got created, one of the comments made by a producer was, there are only so many Hadassah members and chapters who are going to come and see this thing, and then there's nobody else to show it to. But this show, he was wrong, and this show of course, has such resonance, but it has special resonance today. That's why I say my world, I cover politics on television. Today, this show, I think when I come to opening night, it's going to have more power for me than it had even when I saw you in 2018. Maite, what do you think?
I mean, certainly we cannot ignore that there's something happening right now that is mirroring, you know, art imitates life and vice versa. So that's just there. But yes, I did know. I think that this show is fortunately in some aspects, and unfortunately is always going to be relevant, because generational conflicts and the conflicts between people who see each other as a threat and who lead with fear because of that, unfortunately, are an ingredient of the human experience. That's why the show is going to continue to be relevant. And yes, I did know that about the show. There's this anecdote. I don't know if I'm going to tell it exactly as it was, but apparently when Zero Mostel was promoting the show back in the day when they were trying to put it up, he went to several producers and he said the producers said to them, this is too Jewish, you know, no one is going to be interested. It doesn't appeal to the larger public. And then they went to other producers who did actually trust the show and whatnot. And eventually there were lines and lines and lines and lines in order to see the show. And Zero Mostel took a picture of the lines going around the block of the theater. And there were a pair of nuns who were lined up to see the show. And he took that picture and he made it into a little postcard. And he sent it to those producers who didn't want to put their money into the show. And the postcard merely said, schmuck. Because the show really, you know, the Jewish aspect of it is just, I'm not sure if the word excuse is exactly accurate for what I want to say, but it's just a vehicle that is used to portray a story that is universal. I mean, this happens in any culture, the challenging of traditions, conflicts, you know, love is impregnating the entire show in all this, like a million things that do not necessarily, that happen in every culture, in every religion, in every, that are just a part of the tissue of human relationships.
Yeah, Haskell, talk a little bit about the fact of, I can't imagine people don't know the story of Fiddler on the Roof, but in addition to all of this, the pogrom and get out of your land and this is my land, all of that, it's about a milkman and his daughters.
Yeah, it's about a milkman and his daughters, true, and they all have three love, beautiful stories. It starts from the first one, from Saito, and she wants to marry a very poor man. Of course, Tevye has this dream of becoming a rich man, and he wished he would be rich, and he wants his daughters to have the same, you know, the same luxury life that he wants to have. And so first he's against this marriage, and then so that's an easy story for him because he just needs to, you know, to give up the money. But then the second daughter is bringing a rebel person, you know, Pelchik, that wants to fight the world and fight against the religion, against the tradition. So, you know, like taking her hand and dance with her in the wedding. So this is like unforgettable, you know, unforgivable in the culture of the Jewish religious people. So he has to give up this, and he leaves also, and she has to leave home. So this is like you know, at that time, that these days, I mean, till now, when if my daughter will tell me that she's living home with someone abroad, it will be a very, very hard thing for me to accept, of course. And then the third one is getting married with but it's okay, at least it's, you know, he's Jewish, is, you know, the second one, Patrick. So it's in his circle of understanding and accepting. But the third one wants to get married with a goy. With this is like unforgivable. And I think that's the only time where he cannot forgive. You know, he cannot accept that. And there is this monologue that he says at the end. No, there is no other way. There's only one way for him to live life and to accept tradition. And of course, he loves her. And at the end, he gives her his bless. But it's hard for him to accept it. And I'm telling you, I know it's from a very personal, my own story, because I got married with a non-Jewish woman in a very religious family. Like, I'm still doing tefillin every morning, praying to God, coming from a religious family, and getting married with a non-Jewish woman was at the beginning very hard for my family. So every evening, I know, I remember that story on my own body. You know, I'm fighting against my daughter as an actor, but I personally had this story on my own, and it's not an easy thing. It's truly not an easy thing. Of course, at the end, my parents loved my wife and loved my kids, and at the end of it, it's beautiful. But at the beginning, it was very, very hard. So it's also something that I bring a personal experience in that thing. So,
and by the way, I think your daughter was recently bat mitzvah. Yes. So congratulations on that.
We had bat mitzvah on the tour for Emma. Now she's 15 already, but I have an 18 years old girl, that's finishing high school right now. Yeah. And 11 years old. I have three daughters of my own.
Yep. And Mazel Tov. And Mike, let me ask you to address the women in this show, because, you know, back when this would have happened, early 1900s, you know, well, I think women have always been strong, but the reputation, the stereotype was that they, you know, maybe were not as strong. But Golda, she runs that family. I want to see Mottel's new machine now, right? But Golda runs the family.
Yes. Well, I'm actually not sure if the stereotype in that specific shtetl would have been that they're not strong, maybe not outwardly, like, but you're not really at other times, at the same time in other places in the world, like you're not in England, in the high society of England or Paris, where you had the damsel in distress. These are women who are working the fields, who are actually, if you think about the physical labor that they have to do every day, they wake up like at 5 a.m. every morning. They are rushing against the clock throughout all the week to get everything ready for Sabbath, which is the ultimate goal of every week, and then have that release. And they really, from a pragmatic and physical perspective, they do run everything. And if you pay attention to the story, who comes? Jente comes to talk to me in order to arrange every match. Right. Then I have to put that seed in his brain, find the right moment, and, you know. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes, so to speak. you know, then every marriage would have been different. Every couple would have maybe been a little a little different, but certainly they are very, very, very strong in many aspects. And some of them, I think, are just ingrained in the culture because of also the obedience that they owe to the papas and to their own faith. And there's just no option for them. You know, for a woman like me nowadays, there's always an option to be strong or not to be strong. Back in the day, the stakes were that or die, basically, or not survive, you know. So they're, but I'm not sure if they're all the image is already that they're not strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they are.
I can't imagine any woman in Anatevka, given the kind of society and the amount of physical labor, and that wouldn't be sort of a workhorse. Yeah. You know, to a certain degree, you know, is more, you know, there's nuances to that, but because of the demands of the faith and of everyday tasks that they have to fulfill, there's just no other option. There's no other hand, like Tevye says, for us.
And you see the daughters, obviously.
When we lose our daughter. I mean, there's no, you know.
Right. But you see that, but in Hodel, in Chava, you also see the strength of their characters as women and growing as well, I think. They all turn out to be very strong people.
Of course. Talk about feminism. Right. I mean, if there's a play that promotes the empowerment of women, it is Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah. I would argue sometimes that the protagonists are the daughters, because Tevye is only reacting to them. The ones who are pushing the motors of the show are the daughters. They are, and on an outer layer, the Orthodox, the Russians, yeah, too. But Tevye and I just react. But the ones who introduce the turning points.
Sure, because we are holding the tradition and they're trying to change it.
Exactly.
Before I lose my time with you, I just want to ask each of you, because I you know, the Fiddler on the Roof is so a tradition, it's family. I could sit and rattle off for me the meaning of it on so many different levels. But I want to know for you in a sentence, in two sentences, Maite, I'll begin with you. When somebody says to you, what is the purpose, the impact of Fiddler on the Roof? What is that number one for you?
I mean, tolerance. Acceptance of the other. Truly. Which, at the end of the day, is cultivating love. But, yeah.
Now that, I agree. And and I'm so glad that's the first thing that occurred to you. Yeah, Heskel, what's the first thing? And you don't get to take her answer now.
For me, it's the ability to change. And I'm saying it from a very personal also perspective, coming from a religious family, and to change the traditions and to give the people the power that they should listen to their own voice, and they can even questioning God. And that's what I'm doing as a character. I'm questioning God. I'm questioning religious all the time as a religious person. And it doesn't mean that you have to leave your faith. You can still believe, but you can change. You can change with this believing quality.
I think that's what helps the message of Fiddler resonate for, 50, 60 years now? It's coming up to 60, I think, which is just absolutely amazing.
I think as long as human beings exist, Fiddler on the Roof will exist too.
Yeah, I agree. And something that would never have been predicted when it first got created. So yeah. Sheldon and Jerry and Joseph did an amazing thing back then. Well, I will see you on opening night. I will try, Heskel, not to sing louder than you during If I Were a Rich Man. If I do, just
You're
go shush, shush,
welcome.
Shush. well, I'm usually in the third row, so that's, I'll be, no, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. But I will be crying. I will be with you. And no matter how many dozens of times I've seen this show, it impacts me every single time. And so to my Tevye, my Golda, Yeheska Lazarov, and my Tate Wazal, I say to you, Toda Rabah, thank you so much. I can't wait
thank
to
you
see
so
you Have a wonderful run. Break legs back here in Chicago. And yes, I will send you to some pizza places and all the junk food places that you want to go. I should tell our viewers and listeners, the show runs from May 17th to May 22nd. It's not a long time, so get your tickets. It's at the Cadillac Palace Theater. And tickets, as always, BroadwayInChicago.com. Thank you for being with me. I appreciate it. Shalom.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's P-A-U-L-L-I-S-N-E-K. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes and tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.